Turn in the scriptures to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. And we are reading this morning Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 28. Romans 8, verses 1 through 28. These are the inerrant, infallible words of God. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. The creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but we also ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Those are the words of the Lord. The end of chapter 7, verse 24, it ends there. It says, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? And his answer is, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so now we come to chapter 8, and perhaps the most comforting words in all of Scripture, right on the back of the end of chapter 7 there, therefore there is no condemnation now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Who will set me free from this body of death? Jesus Christ, God through Jesus. Therefore, because through Jesus, so there is no condemnation now in Him. All have sinned, all therefore have the wrath of God upon them, judgment coming, but there is only one way to escape the wrath and judgment of God and the eternal death that He will send upon those who don't turn to Him. And there's only one way, and that is to receive blessing and life forever, and that is only through Jesus Christ alone, through faith in Christ alone. You must believe, and having believed, you will be justified, made right in God's sight through the righteousness of Christ imputed to you, so that all who do believe, those were the first seven chapters basically, all who do believe, there is now no condemnation on you. That will never change. Nothing you do will make that no condemnation some condemnation. Nothing you will do will make that full condemnation. It doesn't change. There is now no condemnation forever for those who are in Christ Jesus, if you have believed in Him. You have now been set free from condemnation in Jesus. The law could not save you. Verse 3, it says God did. God saved you. He did so through Jesus, who fulfilled the law for us. He fulfilled the covenant of works for us, for all who believe, and that's the covenant of grace. And now if you have the Spirit dwelling in you, where the Spirit is testifying with your spirit that you are children of God, like the confession says, or more so like the Scripture says here, you are children of God. You're no longer slaves to sin in the flesh, but you are in Christ Jesus. But if you don't have the Spirit, He says you don't have Christ. If Christ is in you, just as Christ was raised from the dead, so you will have your bodies raised up from the dead through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. What are the implications of that then? You're not to keep on sinning as though you were slaves to the flesh, or still in the flesh, living to the flesh. Because you have the Spirit now. You are putting to death the sin that remains so as to live. And even where it says, it's interesting here in verse 13, maybe a corporate essence of this, for you, all of you are living. That's the Greek, all of it's plural. For if all of you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit all of you are putting to death the deeds of the body, that's that part of putting to death the sin that remains, it is a corporate thing. It's not all. It is an individual thing, but it's also a corporate thing. And it is done primarily when you are together. Iron sharpens iron. And being in the body of Christ, in fellowship with each other, and in the worship of God together, you're putting to death the deeds of the body, the flesh. And so you're not to keep on sinning. You have the Spirit. You are to be putting to death the sin that remains in you so as to live. And then verse 14, the great verse of adoption. We've been justified, chapters 3, 4, 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith. Here is adoption. What happens at justification when you're made right in the sight of God? You are made a child of God, having been given the Spirit of God. You are children of God, so that now you don't have to cry out to the Lord informally. When you pray, you don't have to say, Lord, God. But now you can actually call Him Abba. You can call Him Father. Father! What a great privilege to know that we have that, we can come to Him and pray to the Father, not just to God, not just to the Lord. And we can pray, we have that intimacy, like Jesus has that intimacy with His Father in John 17 when He's praying to the Father, as we'll see. And if you can now pray to the Father like that, have intimacy with the Father like that, and thus you show that you are His children, know this then, that you are also heirs. You are heirs with Christ of a great inheritance, of one part of that inheritance, you receive God himself. As 1 Peter tells us, we have a great inheritance so that as we suffer in Christ, so also we are glorified in him. And yet even now, believers, we are awaiting what has been promised as we've been adopted as the Father's children. We wait for the preserving hope, persevering hope in the redemption of our bodies. We still have the pain, and we still have sorrow and weakness in our bodies, and so we're waiting in hope for the redemption of our bodies, knowing that he is faithful to his promises. He's promised that he will do this. He will raise us up and give us new glorified bodies. He will bring it about. And so just as the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, he also, it says here at the very end of our passage that we read, he also helps our weakness in our weaknesses, not just the weakness of our faith, and so spurring us on to believe in Christ and the promises more, but even in our prayers, where we cry out to the Father, Abba. He intercedes for us, giving us the words to pray. He groans within us so that we can pray, because we can't pray without the Spirit. And not only does the Father then also search our hearts, he knows everything that is in our hearts. And so he causes all things, even after knowing what is in our hearts, he still causes all things to work together for our good, even though he knows everything in our heart, the sinfulness and the wickedness that still remains. He still works all things together for our good, to those who love him, to pray to him, have that intimacy with him, and to those who are called according to his purpose, which he will go into in a little bit after the verse 28. So those who are called according to his purpose, those who have the Spirit testifying with their spirit, with our spirit, that we are children of God, thus heirs with him. What a great comforting passage, probably one of the most comforting passages in all of Scripture. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now you have the Spirit testifying with your spirit that you're a child of God, you're heirs, you're adopted, you can cry out to the Father. And you are heirs of a great inheritance. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your comforting words here. The words that constantly remind us of our adoption as sons, heirs of the promises. That by faith we are heirs according to the promise you gave even to Abraham. We thank you that you have given the Spirit who testifies with our spirit. We ask that you would show that to us more, reveal that to us more, that we would have a greater assurance of faith, of salvation. We thank you for your promises. We ask that you would remind us of your promises over and over and over, knowing that you're faithful to keep them. Lord, comfort your people. Cause us to persevere in hope for that time when we have the redemption of our bodies. We cannot physically see that, as we learned in Sabbath school this morning. We cannot physically see the redemption of our bodies because there's still sin remaining. There's still pain and suffering and sorrow and tears. Father, we ask that you would give us this hope in what we cannot see, and yet what we only see by the eyes of faith. So grant us faith. Father, we call upon you that you would give us this understanding that as this passage is a comfort, an encouragement, a comfort for your people who have believed in you, have believed in your Son, in the gospel, and how he went to the cross and died for our sins. He is our righteousness. That as these things are blessing to us, the one who is not your child, the one who does not have the Spirit, the one who has not believed unto salvation and eternal life, who does not have intimacy with you, as Jesus has intimacy with you. Father, cause them to see that they receive the exact opposite of what we see here. They receive condemnation. There is no hope apart from Christ. There is no spirit, but they have their own fleshly spirit, which pursues sin, the flesh, the worldly things, even the devil, who is the father of lies. Cause them to see the curses that are upon them, the judgment that is upon them, just as we'll read this day from your word in Zechariah. The sword is upon them. Father, cause them to see this. Send your spirit, accompany that with your word, and save their souls, even our children. Because we learn, just as we learn in this passage, only you save people. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot follow the law. We cannot keep the covenant of works. And so we're thankful that God did, you did, through your Son. And so give us, grant us the gift of your grace and your faith. Shower us with your mercy. For we are undeserving of these gifts, just as the people who do not know you at this current time and who are your elect are not deserving of these gifts. And yet you set apart some of your elect so far, of the many. You have showed them grace. And so we ask that you would do the same to those who have not yet come. Lord, give us a joy in the gospel, in your Son Jesus Christ. For you have saved us from condemnation, wrath, and judgment in your great sword. And so we praise you for that. We do thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.